further to Holy Scripture in the book of Galatians. Galatians chapter 2, verse 16. As we dwell on the topic for this morning, the faith that is dead, we want to seek the Holy Spirit's illumination that at the end of this morning, we all may give praise and thanks to the Holy Teacher, even the Holy Spirit. Galatians 2:16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, for by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Back to James, and keep your part in Galatians, James chapter 2. And we will read further after the passage that was read, now James 2:20. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled which said, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Ye see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Amen. We have read two portions of scripture which appear to be in conflict with each other. Whereas in Galatians it says, a man is not justified by the works. And the second part of this verse says, not by works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. But then in James we read, even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead. And verse 20, wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Then verse 24 again, see then how that by works a man is justified. Is there a conflict? Which is right? Answer is, there is no conflict. For the Holy Scriptures are all given by inspiration of God, and every part of Scripture is true. And no part of Scripture ever contradicts another part of Scripture. Although on the surface you say, well, one says works cannot justify, and the other says, you must have works to be justified. Now, dear friends, we thank God that in the Bible we have a complete truth of God. Paul gives us an aspect of faith and works. He wrote this epistle to the Galatians on account of a false doctrine that had crept into that church. Soon after he had founded the church in Galatia, certain of the brethren from Jerusalem came down with the Judaistic doctrine. They came and told the believers, oh, Paul is not teaching you enough. Faith, yes, but you must keep the law for justification. The law of Moses requires circumcision, requires observance of the Holy Sabbath on the sixth day, on the seventh day, and certain dietary laws. We see this still today in the Seventh-day Adventist Church. And they require that you are Christians, you say you have faith, you must also observe the law, otherwise you cannot be justified. But we see here that Paul is speaking to the Galatians on the problem that they must not forget. Their salvation is not on the keeping of the law. Their salvation is on faith in Jesus Christ. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. We come to Him. We look to Him. At Calvary's cross there, we confront with the message of salvation. What is it? Believe on Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son, the only Savior of the world, who died, was buried, was raised for us. In that faith, looking to Him and Him alone, God sees us in His righteousness. We receiving Christ are justified before God. This is the gospel. And you must not go back, even as the Adventists today do, to keep the law of God for justification. So we see here that there is no conflict. Now please see James chapter 2, verse 19. As we go into this morning's very fascinating subject of the faith that is dead, we will realize that there are two kinds of faith. One that is true faith, living, saving. One that is false faith, which is dead. Verse 19. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. You say, how come? Indeed, devils, they also have a kind of faith. This must be news to some of us, isn't it? That even devils have faith. They consent to the body of truth. They understand. They know that they are condemned. And before God, they have no way out. They know all the truth. You may say they are quite even orthodox, correct in all their belief. But the response is, devils hate the doctrine of salvation. Devils hate God who gives us the doctrine. And devils hate Christians. And devils can never be saved. Although they have this kind of faith, they can never have saving faith. Faith is then not a system of knowledge. It is not a creed that if you believe in all these, you're all right. You're not all right. Dear friends, faith is not a set of laws and rules. Faith is not a body of facts, whether historical facts. There are some who believe Jesus Christ was a good man. He lived. These are historical facts. And they're even prepared to go on and say he is a savior. But back of the mind, they have other saviors also equally good. Faith is not a system of theological facts. There are many today who understand theology very well. And they have all the doctrines. They believe in the head. But they also believe in things that are contrary to the word of God. A person may have all these knowledge and yet not have saving faith. Those who have the false faith cannot bring forth good fruit. They produce no good works. And that kind of faith is dead faith. Do we have an example of a dead faith? We all know the name of Judas. Judas followed the Lord for 3 years, and he was one of the disciples. He had a ministry. He had apparent faith. He went forth. He preached. He cast out devils. He did the witnessing everywhere as one of the 12 until the day of reckoning. Then he showed his true colors. He sold the Lord. Did he have faith? Yes. A kind of faith. A false faith. A temporary faith. A betraying faith. I say, dear friends, this morning we must examine ourselves as I examine myself. Lord, what kind of faith do I have? Is it that kind of faith that Judas had, who betrayed the Lord? I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 7. And again, we are going to see that there is another kind of faith. Matthew 7. Our Lord himself spoke these words. Chapter 7, verse 21. Matthew 7, 21. Not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then the Lord says, I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Now, question. Who are these who come to heaven's door and demand an entrance into heaven? Who are they? We can say they are not Buddhist monks or Hindu priests, but these are Christian preachers, workers, pastors. Many of them ordained men in the church. And in the name of Jesus Christ, they have preached, they have cast out devils, and they have done signs and wonders. Now that must cause us to think today. There are many of this type. Do they have faith? Answer, yes. A kind of faith. They all have gone through the theology. They have studied the Word of God. And they have a certain kind of conviction in their heart. But they do not have the saving faith, which is what? Verse 21. The Lord says they do not have that saving faith because they do not do the will of my Father which is in heaven. The will of my Father? Oh, dear friends, if a person has that saving faith and he is ordained to be a pastor and a preacher, he must be doing the will of my Father which is in heaven, which is to believe on the Son. And to believe all that the Lord Jesus Christ has taught in the whole body of faith, and to obey, and to submit, and to do it. So you see, in that day, all these who claim to have faith will be rejected when the Lord puts the searchlight of his word on them. You find, what kind of faith do you have? Oh, they say, we can cast out devils. We preach in your name. We do signs and wonders. Not good enough, dear friends. This morning then, let us examine ourselves. I ask you the question, and we all search our hearts. Do we have the faith that is alive? Do we have saving faith? Not any faith. Yes, many people can have faith on their lips, in their heads. And I have searched this matter through and listed out 7 points as a kind of checklist so that we all can go through, and we will, at the end of this time, the sermon will show us very clearly whether or not our faith is living, is true, is saving faith. Number one, where did that faith come from? The origin of the faith is very important. You say, I had faith. I came to the Lord. How did you come to the Lord? Romans 10:17, the well-known verse. Romans 10:17. So then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. This is very important. It is fundamental that we understand where our faith comes from. There are those who say, I had faith by meditation, by reading some philosophical books, or by reading literature. All kinds of things come in and people are deluded that they think they have a faith. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. When you hear the word speaks to you through the working of the Holy Spirit, as I did 60 years ago. Very clearly, you say, how can a child understand? A child can understand very perfectly. When the Holy Spirit speaks through the word, you are a sinner. Here is a Savior. You can only be saved through the Savior. That word speaks to me, spoke to me. And I opened my heart. And I believe on the Savior from that day till now. Faith comes by hearing the word of God through the servant of God, not by any kind of word, only the word of God. 1 Peter chapter 1. First Peter chapter 1, verse 22, 23, and 25. Here it gives us a very clear idea of what the word of God can do for us. Peter, 1 Peter 1:22. Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth. What truth? The truth of the gospel. The truth of the word of God. Dear friends, we coming to this church, professing to be believers, to be Christians, can only be a true believer if you have gone through this process, that you have purified your souls in obeying the truth of the word of God, right? Not any other word. 23. You are born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed by the word of God. How did you come to be born again? Verse 23 says, you are born again, not of corruptible seed, but you are born again by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Now verse 25, but the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Oh dear friends, thank God for this word, but this word must be accepted, embraced, believed with all our heart and soul, and obeyed. It's no use to listen and to intellectually agree, but not obey. Even as James says, it's like a person who looks at his face in the mirror. Right? We spoke of this 2 weeks ago. And then he goes away, not forgetting the purpose of looking at the mirror. The purpose of looking in the mirror is to find out what is wrong with my face and to improve it. The purpose of reading God's word and hearing God's word is that we obey that word, so that that word becomes effective and that gives truth to the fact that you have faith. What kind of faith? Verse number two, the second point now. The first point is that you have received faith through the word. And the second point, if you have that faith, it must lead to repentance. Repentance must follow. The word of God says, repent. John the Baptist preaching by the River Jordan saw all these crowds of Jews coming to him. Scribes and Pharisees and lawyers seeking the word of life, the way of life. And John said, bring forth fruits of repentance. Do not say that you are seed of Abraham. The Jews always pride themselves, and even today, we are of Abraham's seed, and therefore, we feel that we belong to the family, and we have a part in heaven, we are saved. No, friends. John says, say not we have Abraham, and I say today, say not I am a third generation, a fourth generation Christian. There are many, many today whose knowledge of Christianity is that I'm born in a Christian family, and that's it. No, friends, we are here to seek the truth of the word. And if we have that faith, repentance must follow. Repentance must cause a person to godly sorrow, not by today's repentance where there is godly laughter, laughing all the time. And they say, now I feel good. Now I'm renewed. I have the Holy Spirit. But Holy Spirit coming into a person's heart, convicting him of sins, causes him to see his own wretched, lost condition and sorrow, weep and cry for his sins, and turn over from the old way to a new life. Even as we have in the God's word says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new person. Is there a sign that there is a new person in you? All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Now we come to the third point. Is your faith a saving faith? If that faith is a true faith, a saving faith, it will cause the believer to draw close to the giver of that faith. You say, I'm a child of God. That child of God must want to draw close to the Father, even as your child will want to see you in the morning. My children have all gone. Now I have a grandchild, as you can read in the weekly. Very soon, the grandchild will grow up and they will come and look for Father. Yes. Every true child in the morning, in all our experience, is that child in the morning looks for the Father. First thing. Yes. Oh, it was so wonderful. In the morning, the child of 2 and 3 will come. Daddy, can I sit on your lap and have a talk with you? Now you say, I am a believer. But get up in the morning. There's no such thing as morning prayer. Oh, he's too busy. And that sort of believer says, I'm a Christian, but I rush off to work. No prayer. First thing is, there must be that filial tie and filial longing. Father in heaven, this morning I thank you. Did you thank him this morning? Did you have your private devotion? Oh, my Father has many things to tell me. For I am a child of his. I belong to him. And here is this book that he has written to me. The best book. The love story. Christ died for us. God loves us. And this book has so many things for us. Do you read it? We have RPG. Are you reading your Bible? There are some who says, I don't need RPG, I read my Bible my way. Do you? Do you have a better system? Dear friends, drawing close to God in secret communion is a sure sign that your faith is alive. And there is that yearning and longing for devotion for that secret time of prayer with the Lord. I once visited a young member of our church in hospital, and she said to me, I have a slogan that helps me. No book, no food. I thought that was pretty good. She had resolved in her mind, I will not take breakfast until I've read my Bible. No book, no food. Faith in that person is living. He wakes up in the morning, there is prayer, there's reading of the book of God, Do you read this book before Straits Times? I ask you this. It's a good test. Yes. Oh, I've got to know all the happenings in the town, in the city. I've got to know all the latest in the market. I must read Straits Times. So I look Straits Times. I can spend a lot of time on Straits Times. This one, well, God's word can come later. And oftentimes we don't. We forget. There must be that devotion of love, not by obligation, not because it is by compulsion, but because there is love. As I said, it is a love letter. When did you receive a love letter? Yes, it's a long years ago. When you receive a love letter, what do you do with it? We read it. We keep it. We long to read it again and again. Here is God's love letter to us. And when we read, it illumines us and strengthens our faith. You have faith? Read the word, and the word will strengthen your faith again. The fourth point about saving faith is it is an enduring faith. It does not wear out. I believe 60 years ago, I still believe today. Our men go to China and all those who are 70 years and above, when asked, how come you have a faith that's so strong? Oh, I attended Dr. John Sung's meeting. And from that day till now, I have followed the Lord. In spite of the cultural revolution of the Red Guards, in spite of all the communists, they go out today. Brother Pang Kok Hiong has many Christians returned to China. When they are back in China, it's not like Saipan. There is persecution. There is surveillance by the communists. And many of them do not forsake their faith. And they continue to meet and to read the word of God and to witness. And the church is growing. That kind of faith is living faith. It endures. It grows stronger and deeper. I went to Indonesia. I mentioned this before. When I went to Surabaya, there was a group so fervent and their speaking was the same as in the time of Dr. John Sung. So I asked them, how come you have this doctrine? How come you pray in this manner? Ah, 1938, they say. Dr. John Sung came to Surabaya and revived our church until now. That faith is the faith that is alive. Saving faith. Do you have that saving faith? Once you have the faith, you will never give it up. You follow the Lord Jesus every day, every day. Sweeter as the years go by. Richer, fuller, deeper. Jesus' love is sweeter. Sweeter as the years go by. Dear friends, our bond to the Lord Jesus is similar to the marriage bond. In fact, Paul says, I have espoused you, married you to one husband, even the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our heavenly spouse. How do we love him? We love him even as the marriage vow says, for better, for worse. But you know, in this wonderful bond with the Lord Jesus, is never for worse. It's only for better. The true believer with the true faith will find the Lord ever faithful, ever loving, ever close to us and so dear to us. That bond endures for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer. You say, well, I'm not very rich. Dear friends, we are not talking of material richness. The believer in the Lord Jesus Christ grows richer by the day in his faith. If your faith is real, it goes on growing richer, deeper in the Lord Jesus Christ, in sickness and in health. Your faith is real. You will follow him through thick and through thin, in sickness and in health. I say, dear friends, if you do not have the true faith, the living faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, when you are afflicted with a terrible sickness, you find you in a great straits and you will not find any comfort and assurance at all. On the other hand, the one who is in the Lord Jesus Christ, who has the true faith, come what may, sickness, I receive it from the Lord. If I receive good things from the Lord, should I not also receive evil things from the Lord? Yes. Sickness, thank God for sickness. Not for cancer. Why? Oh, it brings me nearer to the home I long for. It takes me one day nearer to the Lord I am longing to see. What is sickness? What is death? With the true faith, there is no fear of death. Do you have that true faith? You ask yourself, are you afraid of death? Only Jesus, always Jesus, my heart will praise, my song I'll raise. If you have the true faith, every day with Jesus, you sing His praise. Do you? Do you sing? The songs we sing in church should be brought home, to be sung at home. My heart will praise, my song I'll raise. Glorious Lord, soon coming King, following the Lord Jesus is something most wonderful. I want to read to you from the Calvary Weekly. Jurong edition. Now we have two editions. So this is from the Jurong edition last week. One of our sisters visited Saipan. And this article has got many lessons for us. I thank God for the opportunity of seeing His work in Saipan. We all have heard, but some have gone to see for themselves. Now this person could have spent her vacation on a tour, just sightseeing, but no. She is a woman of faith. She went to Saipan. Listen. I am humbled by what I saw there. The Christians in Saipan may be babes in Christ, recently converted, recently baptized, but they are on fire for the Lord. What fire, you say? The fire of a burning faith. A faith that lives. A faith that grows. A faith that keeps on stronger every day. Their lives are changed. This is a testimony. They hunger for God's word, and they write home and witness to their families fearlessly. You say, why? Keep it to yourselves. But when the faith is true, real, living, burning, you will think of those who are dear to you. So they write home to China, to their loved ones, to tell them about the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now this is true faith. You see, you cannot deny it. They actively witness to their colleagues in the factories, working in the factories in Saipan. These people who had been, until recently, idolaters, atheists, perhaps materialists and communists maybe. But now they have heard the word of God and they have received the faith, they witness. They go door to door witnessing. And our sister who joined them on one Sunday went with them door to door for 3 hours. They possess a certain courage and an intense desire to please and to serve God. Is your faith real? If the faith is real, like these Chinese converts, then the first desire is, I must please God. I must obey His word, and I must tell others, I must serve the Lord, which I seldom see in our converts back home in Singapore. He says, there is a difference. You believe that? We are too comfortable in Singapore. Everything is so good. What is there the need for me to go and witness? What need is there? Down there, oh, we've been under communist oppression for over 40 years. No word of life, only the Communist Manifesto and the Marxist system in China. Now suddenly they come into the light of the gospel And the whole outlook is changed. The whole life is changed. The whole philosophy of life is changed. The whole future is changed for them. Out of darkness into God's marvelous light by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Although they are very young in faith, I find myself having much to learn from them in their faith and their zeal. It is a zealous faith, one that is fervent, lively. With that faith, you cannot keep still. You want to serve the Lord. You want to go to prayer meeting. You want to read the Word of God. You go witnessing, visiting. On Monday, it was announced there will be a prayer meeting in one of the dormitories. The dormitory was for 2 people. At the time of the prayer meeting, 20 people came, and they all knelt down to pray for over 1 hour. Oh, dear friends, we have a place enough for 299 people came. There they have a place for 2 people, 20 came. What a difference. Oh, everybody there who has been saved, presses to go into the kingdom of God, presses to be forward to serve the Lord in the army of God. Here we are so complacent, so easygoing. Why is there a need to pray? Who wants to pray? After all, it's only a prayer meeting. There's nothing exciting. Oh, dear friends, see the difference. What kind of faith we have. Lukewarm faith. Very calculating faith. Self-contented. I don't care. I don't mind. So they prayed. What a challenge, he says. This testimony is to our prayer life in time-pressed Singapore. Oh, I can't spare. How can I go to prayer meeting? My time is so precious. I cannot spend time in prayer meeting. But there they pray up to 11:30 p.m. at night. Participating in the Lord's Supper was also an experience. It says down here it is a matter of form. You have it so often, and we just come and go as though it's another time. Well, what is it? Down there, it is accompanied by quiet but audible weeping and sobbing for sins, remembering the Savior at his table. Is an experience. Why? Because they have the faith that burns in them, the saving faith that tells them, you are not saved by yourself. You are saved by the Savior who instituted this supper, this table. And as you partake, you feel, oh Lord, what a miserable sinner I am, and you died for me. It causes people to shed their tears. As we in Singapore thank God for his material blessings, may we not shift our faith from trust in God to material things. Today there is so much of material wealth. Everybody has been promoted economically, materially in Singapore. And the economists say Singapore, if it goes on at this rate, by the year 2020, which is 23 years' time, will be the richest country in the whole world. Because we have a wonderful party, wonderful government, which goes on all out to increase wealth, to improve living. And at this rate, but my friends, do we have till 2020? Do we have even another 5 years? I cannot say we have. For the Lord is coming and the signs say so. What is your faith? What kind of a faith do you have? So let us not shift our faith from trust in God to material things. May he rekindle our lukewarm faith. I say this article is so good, isn't it? So fitting to the topic for this morning. Dead faith. Lukewarm faith. Cold, calculating faith. They will not save anyone. Oh Lord, have mercy and move us from our spiritual armchairs into God's presence. May we desire to be on fire for him. My dear friends, if we have the faith that is alive, this is the kind of life you want. Not to grow richer and more affluent, but for those workers in Saipan They have earned and saved in Saipan in 2 years what they earn in 20 years. That's why they go to Saipan. And then what do they do with the money? They buy Bibles, gospel tapes, literature, books, and carry them back to China. Do we do that? It is their life savings, all going into the work of the Lord. So when the faith is alive, a person does not see material things as so important, but with eternity's values in view, they save that money, go back to China with all those dollars converted into gospel materials back to China. That is saving faith. Point number 5, you have the saving faith, there will be works of obedience. Not, well, it is intellectual, I read it, it sounds good. But it must be translated into our lives to obey the word of God. The Lord Jesus told the story of two sons. Father said to one son, "Son, there's work to be done in my vineyard, go and do." And the son said, "No, Father, too busy, whatever the reason is." And as he left, he said, My father, how can I be so disobedient?" And he repented and he went to the father's farm and began to work. Son number 2. Father says, "Son, go and work." He said, "All right, Father." And he went and forgot and went to play. Which son has the real faith? Oh, dear friends, obedience is the hallmark of true faith. We know this is God's will. We know this is God's word. We have read all the commandments, and I want to read and remind ourselves the wonderful commandments of God, which we say, "Oh, how love I thy law." Do you really love that law? This word of God says, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, nor any likeness of anything, and then bow down to them and serve them and honor them and venerate them." You must not, all right? You say you have faith, but then every day you worship idols. Idols of what? Mary, Joseph, the saints, and people keep on bowing and venerating. How can it be? Faith means obedience, and God's word says, "Thou shalt not have images and thou shalt not bow." And I say this with all reverence. The day is coming when all the churches will be united. When? Year 2000 is beginning, right? How far to go? 3.5 years or so, right? It will be here. And all the churches will unite. And that introduction of image worship is coming. Now we say, doesn't matter, I just bow, but I don't really mean it. But the faith that is real says, "No, thou shalt not bow. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. If I believe in the Lord and I have faith, I must observe and I must obey." Then it says, "Remember the Sabbath day, keep it holy, keep it holy." Well, what do we mean by this? This is one day in 7 God gives to us. Keep it holy. Do you? True faith means I obey. I will not do my own pleasure, not do my own things, not do all my accounts, keep for the Lord's day, and they say, catch up with all the accounts of all my business on the Lord's day. That is robbing the Lord's day, breaking the law. Now, these are practical points of obedience. True faith means honor thy father and thy mother. Oh, I don't care about them. I must look after my children, not my father. No. Honor thy father and mother, without whom we have no life. They gave us our life. They nurtured us. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not hate. One with true faith will not go on hating another person. But there will be the tenderness and forgiveness. Thou shalt not commit adultery. All sexual sins of any kind outside of marriage is adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Cheating income tax, shortchanging people, trying to use a weekend car with a false plate or something. All these are stealing, thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet. All these are the commandments. They say, I have faith, then love the commandments and obey them. Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation and it is my delight to obey every day. Now the sixth point. If you have the saving faith, you will delight in the works of faith. You will delight. Yes. If there is something you can do for the Lord, you will delight in it. You will delight in the house of God. You love it. Why? You're so foolish. Give your money to the renovation fund. After all, you give or don't give, you can still come to church, right? Why give? If you have faith, you say, this is my Father's house. I give because I love my Father. I give because I know it will make a more beautiful place, clean and comfortable for all the worshippers to come, that we may promote the ministry of this church, that we can go out and tell others about the Lord Jesus. If you have that faith, you delight in Christian service. You delight in God's people. You delight in God's work. And finally, if you have that faith, the living faith, there will be the holy hatred of all the things that God hates. Which means, if God hates idolatry, I must flee from idolatry. If God hates covetousness, I must flee from covetousness. And all the rest, every sin must be on our hate list. Holy hatred, holy separation. Let none here profess a faith that is dead, for dead faith can save nobody. The Lord Jesus says, he who hears my word and goes away thinking it's nothing and of no consequence, he doesn't do anything about it. It's like the man who builds his house on the sand without foundation. Then the testing comes. The rain comes, the flood rises, the wind blows, and the house goes toppled. In the end, there is nothing that can save a person who has a false faith, the faith that is dead. But the Lord says, he who hears and who follows and obeys is like the man who builds his house on me, the rock. Only Jesus. I follow him and I build my house on him, the rock, the everlasting rock, the eternal rock. And it says the rains come, the floods rise, the wind blows, and beat upon this house, but it stands. Dear friends, do you have the faith that stands on the rock Jesus Christ? Amen. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank thee for a wonderful Savior, thy Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank thee that in him we have a wonderful future, a promise, and in him we can have the full assurance of faith that he is the author and finisher of that faith. Help us that we will daily look to him and find in him our all in all. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.